It's NHL Fantasy on Ice, an NHL Studios production with Rob Reese and Pete Jensen.
Welcome back, everybody. Thursday morning edition, NHL Fantasy on Ice. We're about a month into the regular season already, if you can believe it. So we're bringing in for the occasion Michael Leboff from the Action Network to catch up on a lot of betting storylines around the league. Of course, Pete and Robbie here. What's going on, Robbie?
Good to be with you, Petey, and welcome in to Mike. It's been, I can't believe it, to be honest, Pete, that it's already been 1 month. I feel like not a whole lot has changed for me, but we did get some big trade with the Jack Eichel thing, Mike, so we'll get your thoughts on that, obviously, and any kind of futures update.
Yeah, it's a good time to kind of figure out what is for real and what is kind of, like you said, just like a small sample size, something and something you don't want to really read into. A couple of teams, like I already know that I was pretty wrong about, like I was definitely underestimating the Oilers. I still don't think, like, long-term, this is a team that you want to invest in, but on a game-to-game basis, they're beating me every night. Cause I thought their defense would give them and their goaltending would give them more problems, but they can outscore them. So there's been a couple teams now that I'm recalibrating on. I will not quit the Dallas Stars though, but it's a great time to kind of look at those trends and see, all right, what team do I kind of want to jump off the wagon and what team do I want to jump on the wagon with?
Let's start with that. I mean, you don't think that the Edmonton Oilers and what they're doing right now will translate to the playoffs, I guess, by what you're saying. Who could blame you, right? Because they kind of flail out every year. The past 2 years, the expectations were high. They're the higher seed, the whole shebang, but then it just kind of falls off a cliff come that time of year. So what are you seeing about Edmonton despite their scoring prowess and their 50% power play conversion or somewhere in that whereabouts? Pretty insane how they've done, and Mikko Koskinen nearly undefeated this season, but what are you not liking about this group long-term?
Yeah, I think part of it you just mentioned, right? That power play is going to regress at some point. Nobody can clip at 50% over a course of a season. 35% maybe is in reach for this group because of just how good they are. This is a team that if you're betting them right now, you're betting they're like 12-1 at most markets to win the Stanley Cup. They're even shorter than that to win the President's Trophy. You're investing in them thinking, all right, is this defense going to improve? Is Ken Holland going to make a move at the deadline to maybe get a third goalie and someone who's a little more reliable just in case Smith and Koskinen go down? And I don't want to pay that price to do so. The thing is, like, I'm not going to just not ever bet the Oilers. Like, if they are playing another good team, perhaps like a team off the top of my head, like the Leafs or they're playing the Bruins tonight, which I don't think is a great matchup for them, but they're underdogs and this team can beat anybody on any given night. So I'm looking for the right spot to bet them. I'm not like anti Oilers. I just, in my head before the season, I was like, this team is going to be a lot worse than people realize. I was dead wrong. They're a lot better than I realized. Offensively, they're a lot deeper. And you know, players like Evan Bouchard have been really good and Koskinen's been really good. So yeah, I was wrong about them, but I still don't want to, there's no way I didn't bet them at like 20-1 to start the season. So there's no way I'm going to bet them at 12-1 right now with the same kind of issues that I saw preseason. They're still giving up way too many, you know, high danger chances and the goaltenders are performing above, or at least Koskinen's performing above where he's been as a career, his career numbers. So if that regresses back, the Oilers are once again in a little bit of trouble.
Yeah, but Koskinen was actually a New York Islanders draft pick, Mike. So you probably know the ins and outs of this guy by now.
Oh, yeah.
It was 2009, though, so it wasn't like it was, you know, a few years. It's been a while, but I think Koskinen, and there's other goalies in the NHL too that are kind of late bloomers where it takes a while for them to find their game. And I think we ridiculed that team for signing him to that deal when they did. I think it was a Peter Chiarelli type contract kind of thrown out there randomly, but he's found a groove and he's run with it and he's been my best goalie on my fantasy team so far. I don't mind that price actually for Edmonton this year, and I think with their additions like the Zach Hyman move, Puljujarvi's really excelled this year, right, playing in a top six predominant role, and then even going beyond that, like Warren Fogle has been a decent contributor in their top nine. That Duncan Keith on the back end, you know, fantasy wise he's not relevant, but he's been all right. Cody Ceci's been all right. Slater Cuckoo, like they have a better group now, and especially with Evan Bouchard kind of excelling as a 20 plus minute per guy night. I think this team's a lot different this year, Mike, and I would maybe get in before that price gets even worse.
Yeah, I wonder if it will, because the division they're playing in, you're going to see Vegas start to get healthy. They'll get better. So it depends on if I think this is probably the low point of the market, but they got off to such a hot start that I could see maybe this number actually drifting a little bit. Should Vegas get a little bit better? Should Colorado start piping up? And if Calgary, a team that I really liked going into the season, keeps playing the way they do, maybe the top of the Pacific division is a little bit tougher than we expected. So it's not a terrible time to get in, but I'm just in like wait and see mode with this team. I've had a lot of trouble with them last season because I just look at I think I weigh defensive numbers much more than offensive numbers. And perhaps with this team, that's probably not a good idea. And, you know, maybe I'm learning something here that the league is maybe shifting back towards a little bit more open style of play. After the past couple of years, we've seen teams try to lock it down a little bit more. So definitely a team that I'm using as almost like a test case to try to recalibrate how I handicap games and handicap teams and handicap players. Like you said, Koskinen, like he's had good seasons before. I think two seasons ago, he was pretty good. And then you have one bad season and you write him off. And I'm always so careful to do that. But then you got like a guy like Sergei Bobrovsky has been spectacular this season after three bad seasons. And I wrote him off too. And I'm like, well, you know, this guy's shown us that he can play at an all world level. So why did I just completely ignore him in my head? That's a bad error on my part. So like they're a good team to kind of just learn all this stuff, a good test case to learn how to be, you know, better fantasy player, whatever. The Oilers are definitely a team to keep an eye on.
It's amazing that the Oilers haven't been, you know, winning playoff series since that one year when they met up with the Ducks. That was like 5 years ago or so. We need to see McDavid and Drysdale deeper in the playoffs. This might be the year it finally happens. If they do win a playoff series, they might match up with the Vegas Golden Knights from that division. They just acquired Jack Eichel in the big blockbuster trade. Mike, how differently do you view the Golden Knights? They were already one of the top contenders for the Stanley Cup. It's kind of like wait and see if and when they get healthy at the right time. But if they get healthy, man, this is going to be an exciting team to watch and probably the favorite at the start of the playoffs if Eichel is in the lineup, centering the top line with Pacioretty and Stone.
Yeah, they're definitely a team. I won't. It's too bad they're from Vegas, so bookmakers are always very careful with them because they get so much action on them. That if this number continues to drift, they're right around 10-1 right now. I still think that's too short. But if they kept struggling and it took a little bit of time before Eichel comes in and this team ends up in like the 15 or 20-1 range, I'd be in on that. Like this is a team that when he joins is they just solved their biggest problem, which is they didn't have a high end top number one center. Like Chandler Stevens, it's awesome, but he's probably a good number two center on a cup team, not the number one guy, even with the two wings he plays with. So they're a team, once again, another team to watch. I think there's some derivative bets to get in on with Vegas. Like Robin Leonard's been spectacular this year. I don't hate a bet on him to win the Vezina right now. He's 20-1. And he's quickly becoming the story out there. He's keeping this team afloat with all these injuries and whatever. Like, even if you wanted to like dive real deep on him and find him to win the Hart, right now it's McDavid and Draisaitl. Like, you need things to probably go wrong for both of those guys to win a Hart Trophy bet. But Leonard sitting out there at like 50-1 to win the Hart, he's really, really good this season. And he's should be the story. Like, the defense has given up, I think, the most high danger chances per 60 at 5-on-5 in the league. Like this guy, I don't really, because there's been so many goalies that are attracting a lot of attention right now, like Igor Shesterkin and, like I mentioned, Bobrovsky, Sorokin, like these guys, that Leonard somehow is flying under the radar a little bit. And the Eichel trade doesn't really kind of helps with that too, because everyone's like, oh, Vegas, let's talk about Jack Eichel instead of talking about Robin Leonard. But he's been the story there. So if you are interested in Vegas, if you think they're going to make a run right now, look at a bet on Leonard maybe to win the Vezina 20-1, or if you know really want to take a shot, 50-1 in the Hart.
I would take that with Leonard, Mike, but I don't think their price is going to come down too much for the team. I mean, they've righted the ship. They were struggling a little bit, but they kind of found their groove. They've got guys like Nicholas Waugh stepping up. Chandler Stevenson still playing pretty well. Petrangelo's on a real heater right now. If you're playing DFS, throw him in the lineup. But I think when you look at that division, I mean, or the conference, excuse me, Colorado is a team that kind of just fell off. And McKinnon now out 3 weeks with a lower body injury. You don't want to see that with a guy that his game is built around the fact that he can skate better than nearly everybody else when he's on the ice. And this has been the case the last 3 or 4 years with the Colorado Avalanche. Like, they get it in gear, then they get injuries. They get it in gear, then they get injuries. And Mike, I just think that Vegas, when you think about, you know, projecting out, you know, the longer term here, I think they're a much safer bet than Colorado, who Petey and I were talking a little bit about yesterday, is just a one-line team.
Yeah, I really wonder how bookmakers are going to handle the Avalanche over these next 3 weeks, because let's, you know, assume that they don't play at a great clip without McKinnon. They should drip. Like, they're still around the favorite at some books. They're up there with the Panthers at most. And if they do hit 10-1, are a lot of people just going to say, all right, like, this number is good enough on a team that was plus 450 as low as that to start the season? Do you just buy in because the number drifted too far? I don't think so, just because, like, I still don't know if they have the depth needed to make it through a 7-game series with a team like Vegas or, you know, even Edmonton or whoever they're going to see in the Western Conference, which is going to be top heavy in the playoffs. And they're going to need to beat 2 or 3 good teams to get through, especially if they don't win the division. So they're a team that I've been betting against them a little bit here and there, having some success, but I know at some point they're going to catch fire and be able to, maybe, you know, 2 good months might be good enough. 2 good months for this team will be 2 really, really good months. And that could be enough for them to win the division. But yeah, they're just not, to me, like, the prices just aren't there for me to get involved on Colorado. Now, if they drifted to like 15-1, that's a no brainer. But right now my hands are off the wheel, and they're interesting too. Like I said, with the Oilers, like, Joe Sakic's going to need to go get a little bit bigger on the blue line, I think, at the trade deadline, so this team can handle heavy forechecking teams. Cause, you know, Samuel Girard and Devon Taves and Kale McCarr, like, these are really good defensemen. But when you're playing a team like Vegas, or, you know, even, you know, deeper into the playoffs, teams that are just going to keep coming and coming and coming at this blue line, they're going to need somebody to be able to kind of absorb that pressure. And right now, I just don't think they have it.
Right. We know how skill sometimes gets drowned out in the playoffs, and those guys just don't have the size or physicality. Maybe it would help them having Eric Johnson healthy and maybe actually playing Bowen Byram in the big playoff series this year. So that was one thing that kind of bugged me last year. He's bursting onto the scene this year, Byram is. But again, he didn't play. Newhook was playing like a diminished role. So they do have some wrinkles to turn to. But overall, like, I don't understand why Colorado is still the favorite in any book out there. I know that there's always that chance that they could turn it on at the right time. But like Robbie was alluding to, it's a little like bad energy right now, because it always seems like something goes wrong with that team. So I just don't get it, really, why, like, if Tampa's going to get Kucherov back, if Jack Eichel's going to join the Vegas Golden Knights, like, why would the Avalanche ever, until they make a trade before the deadline, which I do think is coming, I think they're going to have to make a trade or two. And, you know, you don't know about a coaching change, but it can't be thrown out when you have half the number of points of the division leader and you're, you know, trending more towards the bottom 5 teams in the league than you are the top 5 teams in the league, like you should be. But is there anything you could shed light on for the Avalanche, like why they would still be favored?
It's probably just because they took so much action on them in the beginning. Like, people, as much as we like to try to find, you know, bets down the board or, you know, sleeper picks or whatever, most people, like, they just want to bet the team they like, or they want to bet the favorite. And especially in a sport like hockey, where it's not as well bet. So there's probably just some liability there for the sports books. And then, like I said, like, they're probably just very careful with these teams that were expected to be good to drift them too far, because somebody out there will be an opportunistic bettor and will just come in right away with a big bet. But I mean, like we said this in the preseason episode, like, this is a team that you can kind of imagine. There aren't too many like crazy scenarios where you can see this thing going off the rails. Like, one is an injury or big injury to McKinnon. He's had trouble staying healthy already. He hasn't been really in form. And so when one thing like this goes wrong for a team like Colorado, all of a sudden you're sitting there trying to be like, all right, I have a ticket on the favorite and things are already going off the rails. Like, how did I not see this coming? And then you just remember, like, just because a team is the favorite, that means usually like plus 450, that means the bookmakers are implying 86% that they don't win the Stanley Cup. So when you start looking at it like that, it starts to kind of click a little bit. And in a league like this, where there's so much parity, you're like, do I want to take the 14% that this one team does, or do I want to maybe try to find something with the 86% in that 86% where another team that maybe gets lucky. So, we're not counting them out at all, but I just don't think that the price is, like you said, is fair right now. So hands off to Avalanche for sure.
I think it's more about what you said earlier, Mike, where it's just kind of like when they do click, like they are still one of the best teams in the league without a doubt. And they still could raffle off a great stretch, even if it's not until after the Olympic break. They could win 80, 90% of their last games. And I don't think anybody would even turn an eye to that and be like, oh, you're right, the Colorado Avalanche, right? But I think it's more of the makeup of the team. When you get into the playoffs, you can't just roll one line. The only team in recent memory that got far that way was the Boston Bruins. They ended up losing to the St. Louis Blues in seven games. They only had one line going in the playoffs. So I think they looked at the mirror and said, we got to get a little bit more here in the offensive group. They added Taylor Hall. They brought in Craig Smith. You know, Jake DeBrusk is now in a better third line situation for them instead of being relied on as like a second line plus 15 minutes a game type guy. I think Colorado's got to look to move Sam Girard or somebody on the blue line and get another forward in there to maybe help Kadri on the second line, because unfortunately for Nazem Kadri, he's just not a guy that can go out there and put the team on his back when he's needed to. He's a good player. There's no doubt about it. He's playing for a big contract. I think he's going to step up for that reason, but I don't think you're going to see that in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah. And by the time you get to the playoffs, if you haven't made that move, like, you know, you're in trouble. And yeah, so they're a team too that I think that if, right, like what are they right now? Like 6 points out of a playoff spot. Like I'm expecting them to be able to catch the top of this division and make a run at some point. But if you're really looking, we're only a month in, so this is maybe an overreaction, but if you look ahead and you're like, all right, this team is going to be playing either, you know, Minnesota, St. Louis in the first round or the top of the Pacific Division, if they really can't get it together, like, yeah, like they should be favored in that matchup, but it's much closer to a coin flip than I think people would have thought in the beginning. Whereas, you know, think back to last year and when they played the Blues, they were one of the biggest first round favorites I've ever seen. And I bet against them and I regretted that basically immediately. But this is definitely not the same team right now. It can definitely morph into it, but we'll see. It's a shame that you can't, that the books aren't, you know, because of the bets they probably took on them, they are being so careful with a team like Colorado and a team like Vegas. Like they're not here to help us, you know, and be like, here, you know, the Avalanche are struggling, take a 20-1 ticket on them. They're here to make money, and it's, you see why it's so hard to kind of beat them in a situation like this.
One of the craziest fan questions, Michael, that we've gotten in a while the other day was, someone was actually asking, is there any outside chance that Troy Terry could win the MVP this season? That is something that totally blows my mind. I don't think there's a good chance that that could ever happen, even him finishing in the top five, but he is top five in scoring in the NHL right now and the single biggest breakout player of the season, fantasy-wise. On his own team is also a Vezina candidate, and John Gibson, that I know you've always been high on through the years, waiting for him to, you know, reclaim his status as one of the best goalies in the league. But what have you seen from the Anaheim Ducks, and whether it's Terry or Gibson or somebody else, the coach, like, how are you tapping into these guys on the betting market?
Yeah, man, it would be something. Troy Terry would literally have to keep this point streak going probably to the end of the year to win the MVP with the way McDavid and Dreisaitl, and that might not even be enough. So I think, yeah, there's, I'm really regretting. I've been such a, I bet on Gibson before every season, both the Hart and at Vezina. And I didn't this year, and I'm regretting that one big time. But I like Dallas Eakins at 100-1 at the Jack Adams. He's still out there. I mean, Dominique Ducharme is 40-1 to win the Jack Adams at DraftKings right now. And it's just, and I'm not going out, this is nothing against him. It's just shows you that sportsbooks generally don't really pay attention to those kind of smaller markets. So if you are, if it clicks in your head, like, oh, the Ducks have been better, Troy Terry is really good, like, if he keeps it up, this team in a division that is still open for that third and fourth spot, they could make the playoffs. And if they do, like, is Terry involved in the Hart Trophy? Probably not. But is Dallas Eakins and John Gibson involved in the conversation for their respective awards? Hell yeah, like, they are. And I mean, 100-1 on Eakins is still out there. Bob Bogner is still out there at 100-1. Jeff Blashill's 80-1 for the Red Wings. And like Brad Larson for the Blue Jackets. So like, if you see one of these surprise teams, and you know, the Blue Jackets aren't going to win the Stanley Cup, but hey, you know, in a tough division, can they make the playoffs? Is it, it's closer than it, than we probably thought it was. It's still unlikely, but if they do, Brad Larsen, first year coach, whatever, 65 to 1, that's a great price. And same with Aikens. Like, he, this is a guy who came in and people were expecting him maybe to not last the season. And if he gets this team even close to the playoff race, you know, 100, you're holding 101 ticket on him, it's definitely a good bet. So I think Aikens and Gibson, if you want to bet the Ducks, if you're a Ducks fan, you want to, you didn't have any skin in the game before the season because you didn't believe, don't blame you at all. But I think those are the best entry points into the market.
I'm that's an overreaction to me. The fact that we're even talking about Troy Terry winning the MVP. I mean, I love what we've seen from him. He's obviously a class player, American hockey player, always a little bit more biased towards them myself, but he's not going to keep this thing going the whole season. I think for Anaheim in general, they've got a better chance to make the playoffs than the San Jose Sharks do, in my opinion. I think they're a more complete team right now. And certainly when you have John Gibson compared to Aiden Hill and James Reimer, you give the edge to Gibson every day. But I think what's going to derail them a little bit, mid-December, they go on a 2-week road trip. I don't know if they're going to be able to withstand that. I think right now they're going to keep playing good hockey, but don't expect, you know, them to just roll through the schedule like this. You know, away from the rink, they're average 2-2-2. At home, they're 5-2-1. So just, you know, ride it through November. Obviously, for your fantasy teams, don't go out and drop a guy like Troy Terry, but I'd certainly sell high on him. It's going to be good for now, but when that road trip comes, I don't think he's going to keep putting up the points, and I don't think the Ducks are going to keep winning out like this.
Yeah, he's, I mean, and there are other players too involved in this run, right? Like Jamie Drysdale, maybe he's playing a ton of minutes, and maybe that they should, you know, dial it back a little bit with him, but he's an incredible skater. I've been watching him and really underrated him. He's another, I guess, another entry point into the Ducks. You want to bet him to win the Calder. He's like 30-1. I know Zegras is still to the top of the board, but it just shows you these markets, like, this is, if you are going to invest in the Ducks and whether you want to do it in fantasy, that's not my expertise, but if you want to do it in betting, like, just look at these derivative markets. Like, there are some really good prices on these specific teams, Kings, Ducks, and Sharks. And one of them, it looks like, is at least going to make a run for that fourth playoff spot, perhaps in the Pacific.
Yeah, I mean, I remember somebody on the show was laughing when you mentioned Bob Bugner in the preseason, but that is actually like, it's a possibility. And I love your strategy with these coaches, because it always ends up being the surprise team or the team that made the coaching change in the off season. I know that, you know, the Rangers are a little up and down with Gallant so far, but it seems like Larsen is going to have the Blue Jackets in contention for the rest of the season. So, but I guess with him, he's just like not a big name, and they would really need to make the playoffs for him to even be considered from Columbus. But I think Columbus is one of the surprise teams so far for sure. And now they're going to be dealing with this injury to Patrick Laine for the next 4 to 6 weeks. I know they're ahead of the Islanders right now, but the Islanders are, you know, have games in hand, and they're just like, you know, they haven't played many games lately at all because they haven't even played a home game yet with their new arena opening. But do you see Columbus actually having a chance to withstand Laine's absence and maybe making the playoffs and making this thing interesting? I mean, another year where they exceed expectations out of nowhere.
Yeah, there's something to be said. Like, we stick so hard to numbers that just having a team that is dialed in and wants to play hard every night is a truly valuable thing, especially when it's a team like Columbus who wasn't expected to be any good, because the bookmakers, they don't take into account, like, hey, Brad Larsen has his team playing hard when they're making a number. But if you as a fan, like, see that and you're like, all right, like, you know, they're plus 200 against a team like the Capitals, maybe the Capitals don't show up. And if the Blue Jackets, who, yes, have a lot less talent than the Capitals, are going from the first whistle to the last whistle, that number all of a sudden should shrink. But we, you know, you just can't tell if that's going to happen. So making bets on, last season, but the season before that, I loved betting the Blue Jackets as often as I could, especially as big underdogs, because you knew John Tortorella had this team going. And as long as you have a team going and playing hard, they become tough to beat. And with the way the goaltending has been in that for that team, they're a live dog every night. So anytime Columbus is at a big price, like, they're definitely worth a look, especially even without Laine. Like, yeah, he's a a really good player, but he's more of a decoration, right? Like Patrick Laine is a great shotgun rider. He's not going to be the guy that's going to win you a game on his own on most nights. He could definitely play a big part in it with that shot and his offensive prowess, but it's the team as an engine is much more valuable to me in when you're capping a team like the Blue Jackets. And Cole Sillinger, by the way, he's out there at a pretty good price for rookie of the year. I saw him as high as 40-1. Another guy who, if you want to bet the Blue Jackets and you aren't, and to answer your question, no, I don't think that they're going to make the playoffs, but do I think that if they're close, like Cole Sillinger will play a part and maybe put up enough points to be in the conversation for a Calder Trophy, perhaps. And he's 40-1. So if you're a Blue Jackets fan you're enjoying the ride with him, I think he's clipped that 10 game mark. So he'll be sticking around. Definitely worth a look there. Same with, we already talked about the Sharks, but I thought Jonathan Dahlin too, he's 20-1 to win the Calder. Another one that's definitely interesting.
I mean, I hate to be negative here again, but Columbus, I don't think they're making the playoffs, and Cole Sillinger, I don't think is winning the Calder. I think with the Metro, it's more of the fact that Pittsburgh has had such a down run to start the season, obviously with the COVID situations there, Malkin out, Crosby out, he can't get back in the lineup. Hopefully it's soon. We've been saying that for a few weeks now. And then their goaltending, I guess, is a little suspect too. Credit to Jari for at least hanging in there so far, but not much team support. And then the New York Islanders, as you mentioned, they're still on the road. Their new arena is still, you know, we're not ready to play there yet. So that's been, I think, the thing. I think they've got three more games left before they return to UBS in New York. So I think those have been the kind of predominant factors helping, you know, Columbus in the Metro. So it's nice. I like these early season trends, but from a betting lens, I really see no appeal in touching Columbus right now, especially if Pat Laine is going to miss time.
Yeah, they're definitely more a game to game team than a team you want to invest in the future. I think they're going to pull upsets all season long. They're a very pesky team. They do believe in what they're doing. Like they're all in on Brad Larsen and his vision and trying to get this team back on the right track. So it's for sure not a team you want to sprinkle like a long shot bet on in this division, but when they're playing a team like the Rangers, who I think are very flawed, especially defensively, like the Blue Jackets are going to be in those games.
What about Detroit, Mike? Because I know what you said earlier about Edmonton and kind of maybe the league is going a little bit more wide open. It certainly feels that way. Even last year when we had the so-called North Division, like those games were insanely high scoring, right? Now we're seeing it a little bit to start this season. Detroit's actually second in the division with 43 goals scored. Maybe with this model, or if this is the way it's going to play, like that could be more sustainable.
Yeah, the Red Wings are really interesting because their numbers are good. Their underlying metrics are strong. They have enough pieces where as long as this team stays healthy and in form, they're going to be good enough on most nights to hang with teams like Nick Leddy and Moritz Seider and Filip Hronek. They can move the puck. And then you got DeKeyser, who's a bigger body. He can kind of absorb the physicality. And then, yeah, going forward, they have the talent, like with Larkin and Lucas Raymond's been a revelation, obviously. And so as long as this, and their goaltending's been terrific too. So they have enough pieces, but I don't know if they have the depth to do this over an 82 game stretch. But like the Blue Jackets, this team is playing really hard. Their goaltending gives them a chance every night. And those are the teams that you want to target at big prices. And we saw them the other night against the Oilers. I bet on them. I think it was like plus 150. I got really lucky because, you know, Stuart Skinner had a little bit of a gaffe that turned into a goal for the Red Wings. But, you know, sometimes you just need that with when you're betting underdogs. So I think they're another team that I'm targeting on a game to game basis. And like I said earlier, like Jeff Blashill's out there 80-1 as coach of the year. If the Red Wings are even close to the playoffs, like he's on the ballot because this is a team that is not expected to be close in this division. And he's it's a huge market and it's a great story. Like, oh, are the Red Wings back to being relevant after 5 years off? So he's been there for a while. So he's a guy that I think is, if you are betting on Detroit, if you're like, oh, are the Red Wings going to make the playoffs? Like I want to bet them. Yes. I would just say take the 80-1 on Jeff Blashill to win coach of the year rather than, you know, the maybe plus 300 for them or whatever they are right now to make the playoffs. But once again, another, like the Blue Jackets, another team that I'm definitely interested in betting on a game to game basis.
And the longer this goes on for Detroit, it's like you take in that original six storyline, returning the franchise to its past prowess, even just a playoff berth this year would be incredible for them. So I mean, if Detroit were to make the playoffs, Blashill would have a legitimate chance to win the award, not just finish in the top five. Like we were saying, maybe the ceiling of like Brad Larsen is finishing in the top five in voting. The ceiling of Blashill as a coach is to actually win the award for sure. One thing I worry about with Detroit, you were mentioning the metrics. Some metrics are on their side. One that's not on their side is the shots allowed, 34.4, tied for second most allowed in the league, ahead, behind only Columbus. So I think that could eventually catch up to the goaltending, which you did say is very good so far, even though it doesn't show up maybe in the save percentage for Nedeljkovic and Greisch, just the fact that they're able to weather the storm on a game-to-game basis and keep that team in these games with some defensive deficiencies and things like that has been a testament to their improvement this year. But yeah, I worry about that eventually catching up to them. I do think if they are competitive, though, they'll make a trade before the deadline because that's how Yzerman rolls. And then maybe even later in the year, you get Jacob Vrana back and now you're really talking. So those are some other things to consider, right? We talk about stashing players in fantasy, but whether it's Kucherov or Stone, Pacioretty, Eichel for the playoffs, or even a player like Jacob Vrana, you can really look at those storylines and what might happen, you know, after the new year or February or March that could really put a team over the top for one reason or another.
Yeah. I love to bet unders on teams that I assume are going to be sellers. And I luckily stayed away from the Red Wings because I thought the number was just way too low. I was like, this team's going to be plucky and they really believe they're on the right path. But I thought, you know, a player like Nick Leddy would be a shoo-in to be traded away. And at this point, yeah, like who knows? And if they are acquiring players and they can fill out their depth, then they become more interesting, especially because I think we're seeing in the Atlantic, like aside of the Panthers, the other kind of contenders are a little flawed right now. They're taking a little bit of time. If you keep banking points, like then you're in the conversation. That's why it's so important for teams like Detroit to get off to good starts. And they've done that. They've checked that part off the list. So if they can hang with the at least stay within shouting distance of a team like the Leafs or the Lightning or the Bruins right now, and not let them get the separation. I mean, who knows with this team and good for them, man. They've been a lot of fun to watch. Their team I tune into all the time because I love their broadcasting booth. And I just think their games have been a lot of fun to watch, which was not the case, especially when you were betting on them the past couple seasons.
Yeah, that is for sure, Mike. Now, before we let you go, I want to get your thoughts on the Norris race. This one seems to be probably the tightest one so far, with Adam Fox leading the position in points. Roman Josi's playing out of his mind for the Nashville Predators. You have guys like Aaron Ekblad that should be considered. Heiskanen's been playing really well, even though Dallas is kind of a little bit up and down. What are your thoughts on the Norris this year?
Yeah, it's going to be tough to beat Fox and Makar at the top when he gets going. So it depends on, I think there's a couple guys in like the 25 to 40 to one range right now. Like Jared Spurgeon is really good for the Wild. Anna Pellick and Ryan Pulock. Like Anna Pellick's been one of the best defensive defensemen again this year of the season, and he's not playing with Pulock for the Islanders. If you're going to try to beat them, I would look for guys like that in like the 30 to one range. By the way, Erik Karlsson has been really good. Like he's 50 to one. If the Sharks team keeps going, if he keeps collecting points, like I know he's out right now, but I just see his name. I see the price. And I'm like, if he is truly back, and it looks like he is, 50 to one on him is, you told me that like 3 years ago, you can get Erik Karlsson at 50 to one to win the Norris. It'd be like, oh, you got to bet that every time. I'm not ready yet, but if that number stays out there, going to be a little interested. But those are the guys I'm looking for. I think, you know, just in general, the Islanders are interesting. I said before the season, like if you are going to bet on them, you want to wait, because I don't think a lot of people are going to notice that they're on a 13 game road trip. And so their number is drifting. It's like 22 to one on to win the Stanley Cup. Sorokin, by the way, most sports books still don't have him listed to win the Vezina, which is crazy. He's 28 to one at a couple of places. He's interesting. Like I said, Pellick and Pulock are interesting at their prices for the North. So they're another team, like assuming that they get their act fully together when they start to play some semblance of a normal schedule, like these players will start, their numbers will start getting cut.
Mike, I would rather bet Bob Boudner to win Jack Adams than I would Pellick to win the North Trophy. Yeah. Or Pula for that matter. But
the Boudner train, man, 100 to 1. It's still out there. Get on it. If this team, like they're good. This team is good enough to make the playoffs. So, you know, and at the end of the season, if he's on the ballot and you're sitting there sweating a Bob Bugner 100-1 ticket to win the Jack Adams at the NHL awards show, like what's better than that?
Another big standout for the Sharks so far has been Brent Burns, 11 points in 12 games, third among defensemen in shots on goal with 43. We've gotten a ton of fan questions about him this week. Should I sell high on Brent Burns? I saw the other day in DraftKings, he was the top price defenseman, like good old times in DFS, Brent Burns. Are you buying what Brent Burns is putting down right now, or do you think it's going to tail off at some point?
No, I mean, he's an animal. So he may, you know, he's a type of outlier player that you can't ever count out. And he's 30-1 to win the Norris too. Like that's not a bad bet either. Like the Sharks are so much more interesting than I thought they were going to be from a betting perspective. Like I could see myself honestly having a bet on almost every derivative market of the Sharks. Like I already bet them to make the playoffs. I bet them, I bet Bogner to win Jack Adams at 100-1. I could see myself betting Jonathan Dahlin to win the rookie of the year. I could see myself betting either Carlson or Burns to win the Norris. Like this is a really, really interesting team from a betting perspective. And that's the great part about this. Like week before the season, we're like, oh, there's no way that this team's going to do this. And the Avalanche are going to run away with this division. And this is going to happen here. And then all of a sudden they start playing games and you're like, oh man, like, why did I think that I knew what was going to happen? And you don't, you just got to try to figure out how to like ride the waves a little bit and find your, and, you know, almost pot shot your way in. And, that's, you know, that's what I'm doing. And the Sharks are definitely a team that could end up making, you know, it's more likely that they don't, but they're a team that could end up making you a lot of money if you're paying attention and all things kind of go their way.
And it's warming up on me too, just because they have a guy, Evander Kane, that's eligible to return late November. Obviously it's too soon to speculate whether he'll be with the team or not, but that certainly wouldn't hurt their chances having him in the lineup.
Yeah. And I think either way it goes too. It's like, it's going to take a, you know, it's going to relieve the room a little bit, like when that situation just gets settled in, when either he comes back in the lineup or doesn't, you know, it's just one less distraction off the ice, which does help. You know, like I said, we like to stick to numbers and whatever, but these are human beings playing a sport. So stuff like that does actually have an effect, I think, a little bit on a team's play. And so like I said, like just a team that, whereas like a team like the Avalanche and Knights are a team I'm just watching from afar with my hands off, the Sharks are a team that like I'm watching, I'm on them all night. Like what, this team is really interesting. I have my hands on like a bunch of different levers with them, trying to figure out how to this. I think, cause I really do think that the ceiling is there for this team to print some money for you. If, and like I said, like with the warning, like still a long shot, if things really go well with them, like they're definitely a potential like windfall team.
Last question for me, Mike. One guy that has caught my eye early this season, and a lot of people as well, Igor Shesterkin from the Rangers. What is his ceiling from a betting standpoint? Because when you have a guy for a popular team like the Rangers that could get them from non-playoff to playoff team and do it like by carrying the team on his back like he has and facing such a high shot volume nightly, 40-plus save games on the regular right now for Shesterkin, can this guy not only contend for the Vezina, but maybe even the Hart? Whereas before we would have said it would definitely have been Panarin or Zibanejad or Fox as a candidate from the Rangers. But now I feel like Shesty starting to build up and I feel like the ceiling is really high for him.
Yeah. Before I came on, like I wrote down a couple of numbers that I really liked and he's 50-1 to win the Hart. Like I said, you got to beat McDavid and Dreisaitl, but the way he's playing and the way the Rangers are playing, he is one of the few that I think realistically has a shot. I think Sasha Barkov at 40-1 also out there is a good one. But think about the Rangers right now in general are a team that are very frustrating because their numbers are blaring alarm. This team's going to regress. Like they're not playing well defensively. They're getting incredible goaltending and they're scoring timely goals. And usually that, yes, you know, that's a way you can win hockey games, but is it sustainable? I don't know. And I don't think so. I mean, they have enough talent where their underlying metrics, they can always beat them. And they have a goaltender where their underlying metrics, they can always beat them. But at some point I do think this will catch up to them. And if it doesn't, and this team does continue to go, then you have to think that Shesterkin's in the conversation to win the Hart. He's 50-1 as an Islander fan. It pains me to say it, but like, it's definitely worth a look out there. If you are trying to bet him, you maybe missed the boat on the Vezina because he's now one of the favorites that take a shot on him to win the Hart and, you know, hope that this guy is able to pull a rabbit out of his hat every night. And he, so far, he seemed to be able to do it. So definitely not a guy that I'm opposed to getting in, involved in.
Well, I could see it coming down to two guys in the same division, Shesterkin and Sorokin, but I would give the edge to Shesty because he's the workhorse volume guy, right, Mike? So great stuff as always from you. We'll definitely have to try and get you on later in the season for more updates.
Yeah, so long, guys. And I will say that, yeah, I think over the long haul, Shesterkin might get more starts, but Sorokin was the only goalie to play his first nine starts. So, God bless him. He's been a fantastic, fantastic goalie.
If Sorokin gets 10 shutouts, we might be talking about him for those categories that we mentioned earlier. But thanks again, Mike. Follow Mike at the Big Lebowski. So, Ravi, I wanted to get your thoughts on, some of the questions we threw at Mike, especially that sell high on Brent Burns thing. Are you selling high on him? Because this is like peak Brent Burns value right now, whereas we thought he would, not really live up to his past prowess this year.
No, I mean, I'm not selling high on him, Petey, and I wish I had the guts to draft him this season in fantasy. I wish I would have been able to lay on the line like that for the Sharks. And that's the one bet that I've really faded for myself is I could see this team making the playoffs. And I think, with Evander Kane, if he does return to them, it would be what puts them over the top for that security. And all I could think about when we were talking with Lieboff about that player, and when he brought up Carlson too, if this team made the playoffs, Pete, and you could put Brent Burns out there and Carlson for close to 30 minutes a game each, like they could win against the first seed in the Western Conference. I mean, it wouldn't, like, that to me is actually feasible just because they have the track record, just because Brent Burns is one of the most complete players and has been in the NHL for the past however many seasons now.
Yeah, I still need to warm up a little bit more because this is a team as recently as last year that let me down with some of my picks and stuff like that. So I'm still warming up to the Sharks here. I don't trust the goalie tandem of James Reimer and Aiden Hill. They seem a little stubborn playing Aiden Hill more than James Reimer, where Reimer is one of the most efficient goalies in the league so far. So that concerns me. And then I just need to see, when Carlson's back, he's coming back soon. Timo Meier's still on COVID protocol. Hopefully he's back soon. I need to see how the Kane situation shakes out for better or worse. And then I need to see what this team is looking like come January and February, because this is a marathon of a season. And the way I'm watching it right now, I like the LA Kings more than them. And I like the Anaheim Ducks even more than them in terms of sustaining what they've started.
Pete's mad at the San Jose Sharks. You could tell because he hasn't worn the San Jose Sharks quarter zip pullover in almost, about a year and a half or so. We used to see it on a regular basis. Big Sharks guy, follows the Sharks closely, haven't seen the quarter zip. So, Pete's a little upset. Completely agree with what you're saying, though, Pete. If I'm looking at even just the California teams, I'll take the Kings and the Ducks over what San Jose is doing. And you guys brought it up. I don't have to bring it up again, but I will. The goaltending in San Jose, it seems unsustainable. No, Robbie?
It does. But Jonathan Quick, again, like if we're going to cycle back through the players that are kind of has-beens, but still really good, like he fits that bill too. And he's been great. And then if you have Cal Peterson kind of being the 1B there, like that's a good tandem to have. But I agree, like I'm warming up on the Sharks, but if I had to lay it down on the line, I would go Anaheim 1 for California, LA 2, and San Jose a close third. But it doesn't mean that two of those teams couldn't make the playoffs. It'd definitely be a long shot and probably not great for the ratings and appeal, but it could happen.
We could fill maybe like 40 minutes of what you just said, has been players that are still really good. That'd be an interesting show. Maybe we put that together in the next, coming weeks, maybe, over the holidays or such, Pete.
One guy that we haven't talked about all year, I don't even know if we've mentioned a player from this team quite yet, other than dropping Jacob Chychrun, but I'm shocked at what Shane Gostisbehere is doing for the Coyotes in the desert right now. He had a multi-point game yesterday on the TNT game. He's up to 11 points in 13 games as a defenseman. There are like how many guys are doing that right now? A handful, 10, 15. So Shane Gostisbehere actually dropped Yanni Gourde, who's day to day for him in a league that does not count plus minus. So that's the key wrinkle there. But Shane Gostisbehere is like one of the bounce back players of the season so far, very quietly for the worst team in the league, Robbie.
Well, they've already got three first-round picks in this upcoming NHL entry draft. Shane Gostisbehere right now is looking like he could fetch, at worst, a second-round pick. Team would be totally loaded coming out of this draft. And it's funny, I got someone on Twitter kind of coming at me being like, where is Chychrun in the defenseman rankings? I'm thinking, have you looked at the stats? This guy's having one of the worst starts in NHL history. He has one assist in 13 games and he's minus 20. I've never seen anything like this. If it was an 82 game season, Pete, you could envision that minus 20 stat line. Now, to Gostisbehere's credit, he's only a minus one, which on that team is really, really impressive.
Yeah, I just can't believe that he's, you know, even finding fantasy relevance here. So I think that, you know, it's one of those teams in the Western Conference that a lot of people might not be watching very often, but we wanted to bring it up because, you know, he joined the top 200 rankings this week. You could find those on NHL.com/fantasy. That's where you could find all our rankings, all our lists, all our videos and our podcasts. If you want to go back and listen to older episodes like the Eichel one. But I think that, yeah, Gostisbehere at a very thin position is worth considering, especially if you're in a league with no face, with no plus minus, and that values defensive points. So I think that's a huge thing. Some of these defensemen for the Anaheim Ducks are interesting. Like I see there's a question like Cam Fowler or Ivan Provorov rest of season. I don't think if people realize how bad Provorov has been for the Flyers, right? So, you know, Fowler's maybe a guy as well on defense for a team that not many people are watching, that you would consider on the waiver wire.
Yeah, we're already starting to see the Flyers get a little bit hot and cold there. I would just say to anyone, and this is keeping it more general, if you have a player on a team that's a little hot and cold and that individual player is not producing, always open up the streamer spot and get in on the Ducks while they're hot before the wheels fall off teams like that. Now, the last two things I want to bring up in the gambling realm is two teams in the Metro I would probably put something on right now while the price is right, is the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Washington Capitals. Both those teams, definitely the Caps, I'm shocked that they are able to be one of the best teams in the league right now without half their lineup in the top six playing. That's really impressive to me. And then for Pittsburgh, the fact that they've even hung around and are above a 500 winning percentage right now without two of their best players in the lineup. And then Tristan Jarry, I do want to tip my cap to him. I know he doesn't really return a ton of value in fantasy, but he's got like a 920 or close to it save percentage this year without the goal support. That's impressive too. So maybe put a little something on that if you're a futures better.
Yeah, and they'll eventually get Crosby back. They'll eventually get Malkin back, and 926 in nine games, and he's 4-2-3. So yeah, the record is what you're talking about where people might steer clear, but people were getting on us, right, for not having him in the top 25 goalies. I love the feedback. I love if we miss the guy. He is in the top 200. He's in that 26 to 30 range at the position, but I do love when everybody comes at us and finds a guy that is actually returning value that we may be a little bit lower on than most people. But yeah, Tristan Jarry doing it very quietly against the odds for Pittsburgh.
And why couldn't Ovi win the Hart this season? Why can't he win it? I mean, if he scores 50 goals and he keeps this thing up and Washington plays as banged up as they do, Ovi should be in the Hart conversation. That story to me is way more compelling than McDavid going out and ripping it up every night. You know what I mean, Petey, yeah. Right? Like if Ovi can score 50, he gets that team into the first or second seed in that division. I think Ovi's a Hart Trophy finalist.
Well, he leads the league in shots. He leads the league in goals with 11 and 12 games, and he's like second or third in points. He's right up there. I saw this morning when we were updating the 200, he's ahead of Leon Draisaitl in category coverage. He's number two in season-long performance rankings behind McDavid. So that's how far he's come. I know that Oshie's out and Backstrom's out and now Mantha's out. But it doesn't matter. He's like scoring in different ways. And he has been the MVP so far, I think, with what that team has gone through. Everybody's been healthy other than Mike Smith for the Oilers so far. Look at the adversity that the Capitals have had to deal with and how he's performing as well as you could have ever imagined this year in all these categories, Ovi. And Kuznetsov, by the way, is just as good. That's like maybe the best duo in the NHL this year, Kuznetsov and Ovechkin.
It's true. It's true. And Tom Wilson's playing really good too. But last fan question from me here that I think we should touch on. It's kind of interesting because it goes back to Colorado. Who is a better player to have right now, long-term outlook, Pastrnak or Mikko Rantanen? What do you guys think? Bob, chime in on that too, because I honestly, I don't know which way I would go right now.
It's a tough question. I would just take Pasta, but I would defer to Petey on that. But that's a tough one.
I do think like there's people ask about buy low candidates right now. Try to get somebody from the Avalanche, try to get Rantanen and people are panicking about Cale Makar. Try to trade for him. McKinnon's out 3 weeks. You might even be able to swing something for him just because people are disappointed. Anytime a team like has a McKinnon or a Makar and they're, 1-4 in their weekly matchups and they're starting to hit the panic button and they don't have 3 weeks to wait, they'll be more likely to swing a trade in fantasy to get rid of one of those guys for some more immediate help. So I will say my top buy low team is the Avalanche by far and away. So I would actually go Rantanen in there because I do think his goal ceiling is super high, just like Pasternak's, but I think his category coverage is a little bit better than Pasta's.
I think Colorado is going to rise to the top. I mean, we're how many games into the season and nothing has gone right for them. And I think Sakic is patient. He hangs in there. There's some conversations about Bednar potentially being on the hot seat. I just don't see that happening with Sakic. I think he's going to be patient. I think he knows the team that he has. They did roll the dice with the goalie position, which we talked about at length in the preseason, which I still think, they tried to go cheaper with Kemper rather than Grubauer. We'll see how that works out. I just think Robbie mentioned it, 25 minutes ago. Would anyone be shocked if this team went out and won 18 straight or had a streak that just propelled them right to the top of the standings, whether it's a month from now or whether it's later in the season? I just think there's a patience that needs to be exhibited with Colorado. And I think I know it's a little shaky with McKinnon missing time and it seems like everything is crumbling around them, but I think they'll be right there when the season ends.
I agree with that. And I agree with what you said, PD, too, about this team. Like, they're going to rip it up in the regular season. It's just a matter of time. But what my angle is, and that's all for fantasy, buy low, like I approve all of that. But I think my concern is the playoff. I don't know if this team is really built to win playoff series. And I think that's my overarching concern about maybe the coach, maybe it's the management. You can't really tell, but there's certainly something off. And I think that's when, I wanted to say with Leboff, like when you're looking at futures bets, like Vegas looks way better right now in my mind, just because they have a lot of good things going and they're still banged up than Colorado, who's banged up, but they just can't really ever get it in gear. And even if they trade Sam Girard for a forward, like, I don't know what you get back for him. It's definitely not going to be a guy that's going to score 35 goals. So I'm a little bit sour on their futures outlook, but I agree. Buy low while you can on that team in fantasy for the regular season.
And Bobby mentioned Kemper. He's got a 908. There's going to be a stretch of games where he's going to win four or five in a row and his save percentage will all of a sudden be up to 920 on the season if it's that decent during these tough times for the Avalanche. So buy low on Kemper as well. I wanted to make sure I was clear on that one. So thanks again to Michael Leboff at the Big Lebowski. Follow all the good stuff that he's doing at the Action Network. Follow our rankings, top 200. Follow back up with me and Robbie on Twitter, NHL Jensen, NHL Reese, NHL Fantasy. Also on Instagram at those handles with your feedback and your ad drop questions. And we'll be back at you again next week.